Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1322. This is your host, Danny Pena, and joining me this week for this interesting podcast. I can't wait for the discussion on this one. Paris Lilly. Paris, welcome back. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year. Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's been rough since the holidays, man. I've just been sick for like 3 weeks. Finally, I'm still not 100%, but you know, pretty much getting there. So good to be on. And if my camera goes out, I apologize because the battery's dying. So
It's all good. At least we have the recording. That's the important one, right? Recording. So yeah. And shout out to everybody who's watching us on Twitch. And for those who are listening to the podcast, remember, this is going to be a fan mail episode. We have questions. So, you know, last week I was telling people, hey, look, you want us to answer questions and have discussions, send us questions. You don't do that, we're going to keep it moving and we'll do the traditional debates and, you know, comments about news and stuff like that. But I just love questions from the fans, man. So, but if you would like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. Also, for those that are listening the podcast on Spotify, we're going to be posting some weekly polls there. And Paris, let me read you from the one from the last episode that you weren't on. Let me look for it. And guys, Paris is having issues once again with his camera. Just throwing it out there. He's probably going to let it charge here and there and he'll come back, but we'll see. All right. So this is an interesting, Paris. So last week I posted on Spotify, I asked, what should Nintendo's next gaming console be called? So it's either Switch 2, Super Switch, or brand new name. So 26.9% Switch 2, 30.8% says Super Switch, 42.3% is a brand new name. What do you think about that?
I think it should be Super Switch, personally. That's what I think.
Just Super Switch.
Yeah, just keep the tradition, you know, from the NES to the Super NES. I don't think they need to vary off the name because, and it's all rumors. We won't know until it's officially announced. Yeah, yeah. But the concept of what it is, being the Switch, being mobile and still being like you could plug it into your TV, that concept's not going away. So why deviate away from that Switch name? So keep the Switch. The differentiator is that it's the quote unquote Super Switch. You know, so this is the next level up for whatever it's going to be able to do compared to the current Switch. So, yeah, that would be my I wouldn't, because you don't want confusion. That's kind of my thing. I would want to be consistent with the branding of it. So I wouldn't go with a completely different name, even though it does basically the same exact thing the current Switch does.
Yeah, I think Super Switch is too long for me, I think. I don't know. That's just my personal opinion.
Was Super Nintendo too long for you?
No, but back then, it felt like it was different back then, Paris. Believe it or not, the original Nintendo sold more units than the Super Switch. I mean, yeah, Super Nintendo. So, like, here's the problem that I have. Like, when the Wii U came out, that was very confusing.
Yeah.
Having the Wii and the Wii U there. Like, I had a cousin of mine bought Mario Kart for the Wii U, thinking it will work on the Wii, and I'm like, no, that doesn't work that way, you know? So I think having the same concept of the console, but a brand new name, so now people know, okay, this is like a brand new console and everything, then it works. Okay, here's the thing, Paris. The crowd that buys Nintendo stuff is totally different than the Xbox and PlayStation crowd.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah, we know that.
Mm-hmm. It's a totally, totally different crowd. So I don't know. Like the majority of them are not the majority, but a lot of them are not hardcore gamers. So I just don't want it to be very confusing.
So you don't want people to be confused when Hi-Fi Rush is a launch title for the new Switch. You want people to know it only works on the new Switch and not the old one.
You mean it only works on Xbox? Well, we're going to be talking about that in a few minutes. So. Yeah, I guess, I have never seen a discussion like something like this, man. Like, look, and we're gonna play family because it's a pretty good questions there, man. But I just want to say, man, people that are searching for gotcha tweets on a Saturday afternoon, looking up the name Paris and putting Bethesda to see what Paris had to say, and then they find a clip and like, hey, I gotcha, Paris. Check this out. It is over, Paris. You guys need to get a life. You guys need to get a life. Seriously, go outside, touch the grass. It is ridiculous that people spend their whole Saturday searching for old tweets from Paris about all this stuff, man. I don't know. And then tagging me, I'm like, bro, I'm just having a discussion. Chill. I don't agree with you. I have things to do. I'm watching the Dolphins game, even though they lost. Like, I'm chilling, man. I have a kid. I'm chilling. I'm relaxing. I don't need to be spending my time on that crap, you know? But yeah, go ahead, Paris, before we play the voicemails.
Well, let me just comment on what you said. I don't mind people, you know, disagreeing with me and quote unquote coming after me because they don't like my opinion. At the end of the day, it's just my opinion. It was crazy to see that I was trending yesterday because of my opinion about what was happening potentially with Xbox and Hi-Fi Rush and all that stuff. I will agree with you that it's the culture that we're in. It's the society that we're in now. I get it. But when you don't agree with me that you go digging back 4 years looking for something I said to then say, well, you said this 4 years ago, but you're saying this now. So I got you. It's kind of ridiculous because if you look at what I said 4 years ago, it's exactly what I'm saying now. It's no different in the sense that they did not buy Bethesda for $7.5 billion to keep it all the same. I have never wavered off of that. And that's exactly what I've been saying now. Sure, you're going to get some one-offs because since I tweeted that in 2020, Phil Spencer's come out a couple different times and said that they would look at things, certain games, on a case-by-case basis. If we're talking specifically about Hi-Fi Rush, that, in my opinion, would fall into that case-by-case basis where maybe they see, just like you said previously, Danny, the Nintendo audience is different than the Xbox and the PlayStation audience. Just is what it is. So if you think, hey, this is a game that we think might appeal to the Nintendo audience, maybe we should put it on Nintendo too. That isn't betraying the Xbox community. That isn't devaluing owning an Xbox console. That isn't instantly saying that every first party game is now multi-platform. No, it's not going to happen. I'm telling you now, 95% of Xbox Game Studios, Bethesda and Activision titles are probably going to remain exclusive. But you will see one-offs from all three tiers that potentially could go to another platform if it makes sense for that platform. And live service games definitely fall into that. That's why you're seeing the Sea of Thieves rumor. I just think people are overreacting to this. And I think people are taking it personal. And because I even did a Spaces yesterday where I saw a lot of people were upset. So let me do a Spaces. You come up and tell me why you're upset and we can have that conversation. Because my thing is this. They're not, if you own an Xbox, if you love Xbox and you're invested in the Xbox ecosystem, just like I said on XCast, I'll say it here. What's changed for you? Nothing. You still got to play Hi-Fi Rush. You still played it. If you wanted to play Hi-Fi Rush over the last year, you played it. You played it, and if you enjoyed it, great. What harm is it doing to you if someone on a Nintendo Switch potentially gets to also experience it. I don't see what the issue is there personally. And then I will go back again. They're not putting Fable, Perfect Dark, Avowed, Gear 6, the next Halo, Forza Horizon 6. They're not putting their exclusive titles multi-platform. They're not going third party. They're going to continue to make Xbox hardware. This is an overreaction. And I'm saying it's overreaction because this is based off of a rumor from a podcast. That's where this came from. And look at how people have overreacted over the past week because of it. And like I said, God forbid I had a differing opinion than what everybody else said. I mean, people have been taking personal shots at me. This is just the whole thing. Like I said, digging up tweets from 4 years ago, taking a video you and I did 4 years ago and comparing it to something I said on XCast last week. When if you really watch it and see what I said 4 years ago and what I said now, what's really different? Nothing.
It's the same exact thing.
So it's like, yeah. If you don't like me, you don't like me. And that, but here's the one thing that whether you like me, love me or whatever, I'm going to say what I got to say. And I'm always going to say what I got to say. This isn't a thing of, you know, if I'm wrong, I admit when I'm wrong because I'm not sitting here trying to say I'm right all the time. But this is just my opinion. This is me trying to logically look at the business of video games and go what makes sense. Because at the end of the day, this is a business. So maybe Hi-Fi Rush didn't get the return on investment that they were hoping to see. And this is going to allow them to maybe potentially get that return on investment. So you get a Hi-Fi Rush too. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. Because that's the thing. None of us are in those meetings. None of us are making those leadership decisions. We're all on the outside looking and speculating. And I'm trying to look at this from a logical standpoint of this is not hurting you. Because when you take this leap of faith to go, well, if Hi-Fi Rush might come to the Switch, that means everything might come. Oh, my God. They're going third party. They're not going to make my console has no value anymore. Why? If you like the Xbox and you love what the Xbox hardware does and you love all the services that are associated with it, why is one game going to a Nintendo platform hurting you? Because I even said it during the spaces yesterday. You know what's freaking cool about Xbox? Right now, literally right now, I could take Hi-Fi Rush. Let's just keep that example. I go play Hi-Fi Rush on my Series X out in the family room. I could go in the kids' room and take that same exact save and play it on the S. I can then come here in this office, play that same exact save on my PC. I could pick up this freaking ROG Ally, play it there. Or I go in the other room where I got a Samsung TV and I could cloud stream it there too. I can do all that right now. That is freaking cool to me. So that's where I see value in Xbox, allowing me to play games across multiple platforms, to allowing me to play it on their hardware, allowing me to play it on my PC, allowing me to play it on a mobile handheld device, allowing me to cloud stream it, you know, on a television. These are the things that I've been again, you want to clip videos of me, clip that.
Clip me talking
about that over the past few years, because that's something that I always talk about. And do I like exclusives? No. And I've said that. I wish nothing was exclusive, but I live in reality and I know that's a part of this business. I know that PlayStation is going to have exclusives. I know that Nintendo is going to have exclusives. And guess what? Microsoft is going to have exclusives too. They just are. Maybe Microsoft is being a little more forward thinking and thinking strategically, like, we don't have to make everything exclusive. Maybe a few things here or there, if it makes business sense for us, we're going to put on another platform. And that's, again, going back to the Sea of Thieves analogy. You get more people playing Sea of Thieves if it's on as many platforms as you can possibly put it on. We already know that Microsoft has plans to bring Call of Duty to Nintendo. It will be on the Super Switch or whatever the hell we're going to call it, right? That's going to happen because that gets more people playing Call of Duty. This is why they have their cloud streaming initiative. This is why they're looking into mobile. They're trying to make money. Whether we like it or not, your brand loyalty, fans, all that stuff, great. But at the end of the day, they're a business. They're trying to make money. Why do you think, again, since people love to clip stuff that I say, why do you think I've had been saying for years, PlayStation should make their games day and date on PC? And people lose their minds over that. Oh, you do that. Well, guess what? Helldivers is about to be day and date on PC. So I guess that's the start of that too, right? Should we panic and doom and gloom that now all PlayStation games are going to be on PC? No, because they're not doing that. That's not their strategy. Their strategy is to take something like Horizon Forbidden West, wait 18, you know, 12 to 18 months, and then put it on PC. That's going to happen with Spider-Man 2. It's going to happen with God of War Ragnarok. We've already seen it with the first God of War. We've already seen it with Miles Morales in the first Spider-Man. Ratchet and Clank, again, example on PC.
Don't say anything. We'll keep it because I want to play the voicemails, but I know what you're going to say about Ratchet and Clank, but just keep it.
Why are you interrupting me when I'm monologuing? Stop interrupting me. What are you, Twitter?
I want to play some voicemails. It's like the whole show without playing the voicemails.
No, go for it. I mean, that's enough. We'll jump into it more.
Yeah. One more thing I want to say, because I know you mentioned about all these games that you could do with, all these things you could do with High Power Rush and all stuff. You know, I like Paris that I have Halo Infinite on Game Pass PC and also on Steam, but I play more in the Steam. I feel like a lot more comfortable playing there, right? Mm-hmm. I can still play, and everything that I saved on my console and on my Game Pass PC is available on Steam. Easily. I just go in, Halo multiplayer, boop, everything is fine. Everything is there. So that's also pretty cool that I could log into any other app that's games like that available. Or even on GeForce Now, I could go there and play certain of these games that's not on the xCloud. Everything is there, saved. So see, man, that's pretty dope. All right, let's go with fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
First voicemail.
Good morning to you, Gamer Tag Radio, and Happy New Year to you, good brothers. This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I was just listening to the latest episode, and again, welcome back, guys. It's always great to hear you guys' voices. I absolutely appreciate everything that you guys do. But I'm calling in because I disagree a little bit on a point that you made, Danny. And Danny, you know you're my guy, man. But you were talking about the rumor that's going around that there could be games that are Xbox games going to other platforms, mainly Nintendo. I have had a bit of a problem with this, Danny, since it was announced back in 2016. By Phil Spencer, the games would be coming to PC, and everybody said the same thing. And when I say everybody, I don't mean the world, but you know, just people that are in the culture like we are, had the thought that this will help bring other people into the Xbox, into the ecosystem. But we can see today, Danny, and last generation, that it did not work out that way, brother. We see that today Xbox is selling worse than it did last generation. So for me, I don't think that having your games on other platforms actually helps to sell your platform. And I understand people want to say Game Pass is the platform. I get that. But I'm just talking about from a console perspective. I think that if it does anything, it makes people want to turn away from the console, because in my opinion, if you can get those games on other platforms, then why do I need to buy your platform? And I'm only concerned about it, Danny, because I am really a fan of Xbox. They haven't shown me anything this generation to make me want to go out and buy one. But I do want Xbox to stay around and give me a reason to buy the console. But that's my opinion. But Danny, as always, man, you, Paris, and Pete, still highly respect you guys, and just keep doing what you're doing. You guys have excellent content. So with that being said, I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day and have a good one. Bye-bye.
Now, shout out to Keon for always sending us messages and everything like that. And sometimes he sends us voicemails that we start, you know, having debates and discussions, great discussions. So keep it up, Keon. Now, I have to say this, man. Paris, there is, like we were saying, there's nothing wrong with when Microsoft is going to announce an old game that's going to come out on other platforms, because look, Hi-Fi Rush, I played it, loved it, moved on. I started playing other things. You know, I even played in the hardest difficulty. I enjoyed one of my favorite games of the year last year. Amazing game. But if that game is coming out for the Switch, how's that going to hurt me as a fan of the game, as a fan of of the Xbox brand. That's not going to hurt me. I feel like a new crowd is going to come in to the ecosystem and they're going to learn more about the IPs and everything like that, right? And let's go with facts. Because this is not the first time the Xbox has done this, besides the Minecraft games and all that stuff. If you go back to the original DS, do you guys know there was a Viva Pinata game that Rare made? A lot of people don't know about that. They don't talk about that. Did that hurt the Xbox 360? That era? Did that hurt? Because the 360 sold a lot of units. I think that was like the first time that Xbox actually outsold PlayStation for the first time was during that time. During the 360. So it's like there's nothing wrong with that. We've seen other IPs that we've seen them on another platform, like say Banjo-Kazooie. It made sense for Xbox to give it the okay for the characters to be on Smash. Why do you think they did that? Because they want people to get excited about the game, about in the future. Hopefully we see a new Banjo, right? They have it there. And once there is a new game, then maybe those fans will come and buy a console or maybe subscribe to Game Pass or the cloud or whatever. Maybe they get it through the PC on Steam to actually play this. It's more money for Xbox. Here's the thing. It's a different time. 2024 is a different time now when it comes to marketing. Remember back in the days, Paris, like every time a publisher announces a game, it was like a year, 2 years, or even more, hyping it up, and then it finally comes out. And then the past few years, they'll announce a game, and like in 2 months later, it comes out. It's a different time with marketing. It's the same thing with what Xbox is doing now, having these games available, not all games, but some games available on other platforms, because it's a different time. They're experimenting. PlayStation did the same exact thing with MLB The Show on multiple platforms. And guess what?
To be clear, they had no choice.
But they had to do it. They had to do it because MLB was the one that brought it up. Like, hey, this is not enough units. So we want to promote our brand even more. Have it available on other platforms. And look, I know I remember people were mad at that time when PlayStation announced that. And it sold pretty good. The numbers went up more than ever before because they made that decision with MLB. You know, so, and here's the thing. There's a lot of people that love PlayStation, and there's so many great exclusives that came on PlayStation. Why the numbers of Ratchet and Clank, one of the best games, in my opinion, that I played on the PlayStation 5, it was low. Paris, you were the one that brought it up to me.
So that's why you cut me off earlier, because you wanted to
say it. No. But you brought it up to me the other day. You're like, yo, those numbers were low. So where's the people that always buying games and supporting exclusives? Why are they not supporting that game? What happened with Returnal? Another game that the number's not pretty high. But I bet you having those games available on PC, the numbers went up. Because now a new different crowd have never played these PlayStation games. They're playing it for the first time. Days Gone, another one that came out a long time ago too. Like, it makes sense for companies nowadays to make these new moves and experiment to see if it works or not.
Here's one thing to look at with that when we talk about PC and its integration into this entire gaming world. Look at the sales numbers that Starfield had just on Steam. Wasn't it number two or number three or something like that, crazy like that? I know I've seen that graphic going around, but it sold pretty darn well just on Steam. That's not counting what it potentially did on Xbox or the Xbox app or what they got off of Game Pass, things like that. That's strictly just on Steam, and it sold very well. I know Baldur's Gate was number one by a wide margin, but Starfield did pretty darn well too. And the whole point on that is, and look, let's back this up just 1 second. I get, because I'm sure there's people watching this now that aren't happy with things that I've said over the past few days or whatever, that's tuning in. And I know my camera went out, but the thing is, gaming has evolved. Even beyond what I may or may not have said 4 years ago, it has evolved. And if you've listened to what Xbox and Microsoft has been saying during these 4 years, they've been telling you this. They've been telling you this is their strategy. So it's not a shock when you see them, as you said, Danny, potentially experiment with taking one of their AA titles and putting it on a Switch. Like, honestly, I'm surprised they haven't done that with Pentiment. I am. I'm actually very surprised they haven't done it with Pentamin. I'm surprised they haven't done it with something like Grounded as well. There's different audiences on different platforms that they're clearly trying to reach. You brought PlayStation into this, and, you know, unfortunately, because of the leak, we have information about how some PlayStation games have sold. Like you brought up Ratchet and Clank. I was actually surprised and disappointed to see the low sales numbers for Ratchet and Clank on the PS5, because I absolutely love that game. I absolutely loved it, which again is probably why you saw it fast tracked onto the PC, because they were not getting a return on investment from Ratchet and Clank. So now let's expose it to another audience that potentially could add to our revenue. And maybe that'll be the thing that greenlights the next Ratchet and Clank. I think, again, the leaks, I think they are making one. But the point is, low sales numbers. We saw that, like you said, again, Returnal, another game I absolutely loved on the PS5. Eventually, it came to PC, which, going back to the point I was making previously, this is why I think PlayStation should be same as Xbox. Go day and date on PC, because not everybody is going to want to play games on console. We're learning that now. That is clear. There is an audience on PC that will never play a game on a console. But if you give them the opportunity to experience your game on the PC platform, they're buying the game. This is what I'm saying. You have people that will go out and purchase the game on PC. That adds to the overall health of this industry. We've seen so many layoffs over the past 18 months that aren't stopping because these, like again, I take a game like Callisto Protocol. Love the concept of it. It didn't quite land. Guess what? Poof.
Yeah.
All those people are getting laid off, going away. The one that we, Immortals of Avian, you and I actually were part of that development process. Didn't, my camera went out again, but didn't land the way that it should. Guess what? Poof. Bunch of people laid off, right?
Yep.
God, I'm blanking on the name, but there was another game from a couple years ago, the Marcus Leto, his studio that he had created. They tried, anyway, I'm going to screw up the name. The point is, it was a game. It was a new concept. They tried something. It didn't work. That studio is gone. And Marcus Leto is now over at EA, you know, working on the Battlefield series.
I know which one you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. But my point is, these games have to make money. They do. So
it's not loyalty. It's not, we're loyal. It's not, has nothing to do with that. Man.
So my thing on it is, if a company has to do what they got to do to try and get a return on investment of a game, they're going to do what they got to do. Damn what we might think, because we're a fan of PlayStation or a fan of Xbox or a fan of Nintendo. They're going to do what they got to do. So you may not like it. I may not like it, but it's the reality of what's happening. And that's what we need to come to grips with on this stuff, that sometimes you're going to see something that you may not necessarily agree with, but it might be for the overall health of a game. And this has nothing to do with Xbox or PlayStation or Nintendo. This just has to do with the current state of the industry. It costs a lot of freaking money to make these games nowadays, right? And if these games are not getting their return on investment, you ain't getting sequels to them. You aren't getting the next idea from that studio. That's why you see so many remakes or remasters right now, because they know those are going to make them money back versus trying a brand new IP. So swinging us all the way back to Xbox. They've invested almost $100 billion over the past few years into gaming. If you think they're going to go away anytime soon or any of that, you're fooling yourself. They're not. They're clearly not. There's over 30 plus studios under Xbox Game Studios now making all kinds of stuff. And sure, we would love for them all to just be exclusive to Xbox, but we know that's not going to happen. Whether you like it or not, whether you want to clip me a video from 20 years ago where I said something about the ColecoVision, I don't know. But the point is, you're going to see things like Elder Scrolls Online, a Fallout 76, a Sea of Thieves potentially, where, hey, we know that needs to live on as many platforms as possible, so we're going to put it there. But at the same time, they also understand you got to have certain games that remain exclusive to your platform to get people to buy your hardware, right? To invest into your ecosystem, to subscribe to Game Pass, stuff like that. So your Halos, your Gears, your Fables, your Avowed's, your Perfect Darks, your South of Midnight, your Clockwork Revolutions of the world are going to remain exclusive. And that's where I think a lot of this stuff is just panic and people like the next Wolfenstein coming out of Indiana Jones, all this stuff, those things are going to remain. Blade is going to be exclusive. because those are going to be the things that incentivize you to want to jump into that Xbox ecosystem. It's the same that PlayStation does right now with their library games, Horizons, you know, Uncharted, God of War's, Spider-Man's of the world, soon to be Wolverine's of the world. Sure, they might eventually come to PC. Like I said, I think it should be day and date. They might eventually come to PC, but they're going to start their life in the PlayStation ecosystem. It's just, it is what it is. So I get it. People are emotional. People, you know, are protective of their favorite things. They don't want to see things change. They don't want Xbox to go away. They don't want things ruined. I don't think that's going to happen. So I think a lot of this is overreaction. And hopefully people will understand that the gaming industry is evolving. It just is. There's way too many ways to interact with games now to not try and put your games on as many of those screens as you possibly can. Now, strategically, some of them you won't for business reasons, competitive reasons. We get it. But when those barriers aren't there, why wouldn't you? And this is, and I'll end it by saying this. What harm individually? Forget speculation on what could happen down the road. What individually, what harm would a Hi-Fi Rush do? Because again, I don't think it's coming to the current Switch. I think it's the next one. So if Hi-Fi Rush this fall shows up on the next Switch, how does that hurt you as an Xbox gamer? That's it. That's a question you have to ask yourself, because I can't answer it for you. But what harm does that do? That's all I'm saying. And I'll leave it there.
Or to make it even better, Paris, Sea of Thieves, a game that's like, what, 6 years old? How's that going to harm them if it goes multi-platform?
Well, like I said before, Sea of Thieves, again, these are all ifs. We don't know if any of this is happening. But the Sea of Thieves thing, excuse me, 6-year-old game, whatever it is, I think 2017 it came out. If you put it on PlayStation, it's already on PC. Right. Obviously on the Xbox. But if you put it on PlayStation, and again, let's just say it's on the next Switch as well. That's just more people to play that game with. How does that hurt you? And it's an older game. So it's not like, and again, to be clear, because I'm sure all this stuff is going to get clipped. So clip this. If Xbox.
With the camera on.
Yes, with the camera on. If Xbox were to take their entire slate and make it day and date on their competitors' platforms, that is a problem. Stop making an Xbox, then you are a third-party company. If they were to do that, they're not doing that, though. And that's the whole point I'm trying to make here. And that's why I think people are overreacting to a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and for those of you who remember this, again, let's go back in the days, Paris. This is, I love history sometimes, you know, just talk about stuff that happened back in the days in gaming. Do you guys remember when Bungie was working on Halo? Do you know that Bungie were working on Halo on the DS? I don't know if everybody remembers that it was playable on the DS. It never came out, but they were working on it behind the scenes because, again, Xbox wanted to get a new audience playing Halo for the first time on the DS. Look it up on YouTube. You will see actual videos of them playing like a demo showing the game. And let's say it came out back then, because this happened when this is like years after Halo 2 came out that they were working on it. So let's make believe, Paris, that Bungie did release Halo back in those days, years later, Halo 2 on the DS. How's that going to affect us as Halo 2 fans? We still going to play Halo. It's not, we're going to play with them online. It's a different type of game, right? It's only going to be playing with the DS audience. But imagine it came out, like, that's not going to hurt us at all, man. Like, we're still going to be playing Halo 2. We're still going to play all the Halo games and everything. You know what I'm saying? So that's the part I just don't get, how people are taking this so personal and getting so angry. They're like, that's it. Enough. I'm never going to buy an Xbox console again. Like, it makes zero sense to me. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. And here's the thing, too, Paris. Like, even from the entertainment industry, there's stuff on Disney Plus, on HBO, that's available on other services, because guess what, man? They try old series that I've seen from HBO going on Amazon Prime. Is that going to make me unsubscribe to HBO Max because it's available on Amazon Prime? Like, they want to get an audience to subscribe to HBO. So it makes sense for this company to put it on certain areas and certain platforms so they could get a new audience. It's the same exact thing that Xbox is doing. It's the same exact thing. It's not day and date. Let's release it on Max and also on Amazon Prime. You get what I'm saying? It's the same exact thing. So just want to say that real quick. Let's go with voicemail numero dos.
I want to answer this in the chat. Can I do that?
Oh my God. Here it goes. Yes. So,
JBallin83 is first time here. So thank you for checking us out.
Muchas gracias.
He said the argument against this is that it wouldn't feel as special to play the exclusives if they went to other platforms. Xbox wouldn't feel unique. I was talking about this in Spaces yesterday. Why does it? And again, we're not talking day and date. I want to be clear on this. I ain't talking day and date. So let's say Banjo. Banjo finally comes out.
Ooh, yeah! Controversy. Ooh,
I fainted everything. I'm super excited. I got the pom-poms out. I can't wait. Banjo comes out. We're playing Banjo on Xbox, PC, and cloud for 18 months. And then 18 months later, they say, well, Banjo is going to be on the Super Switch. So now Banjo's not special to you anymore?
Are you going to faint still, Paris, or not faint?
Yeah, I'm still going to faint. No, but my point on that is, why is it not special or unique to you anymore? You played Banjo. You played it. You loved it and enjoyed it on Xbox. Now, 18 months later, Danny gets to play it on the Super Switch. So what is that taking away from you is what I'm trying to understand. And again, I'm trying to have an adult conversation about this, not this console war nonsense. An adult, reasonable, logical conversation about this. What does that take from you? Nothing. Because you already played it. You already enjoyed it. Like, I had one guy tell me that if they don't tell me in the marketing when they announce it that one day it might come to another platform, they lied to me and they betrayed me. Insanity.
That's insanity. What is this, a gang? Like, what the heck is going on?
It's video games at the end of the day. I love gaming. I really don't care what platform it's on.
Bro,
sure. I obviously lean Xbox because, you know, I've been championing Xbox for a long time because I like a lot of the things that they do. But it does not personally hurt me or the experience that I had with a game if that same game shows up somewhere else down the road. It just doesn't. So, and this person may not have been saying it. He's maybe just asking the question, which I do appreciate, because I just think that's a lot of what I'm seeing here, where people are making it personal that if a game shows up somewhere else, it is personally affecting them. I just don't see it. Hi-Fi Rush. If that winds up coming on the Switch, if that rumor is true, I've already played it. So I've already experienced it. I've already enjoyed it. Why would I care that someone else gets to play it too? Just because it's not on the platform that it started on. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for the question and for the answer, Paris. All right, let's go with voicemail numero dos.
See, Danny don't care. He's just get to the voicemails. I have
it's fan mail. You know, it's not the P and Paris show. I mean, what the hell? I said Pete.
What the hell did you say?
All right, let's go. Let's go with voicemail number. Here it goes.
Hey, Danny, Pete, Paris. What's going on? This is Michael Santiago calling from New York. My question is regarding Xbox and sharing its contact with other platforms. Do you think it's a good idea for, let's say, Xbox to share Hi-Fi Rush with Nintendo and possibly Sea of Thieves with PlayStation? Also, side question, Danny, what is it like being a new gamer dad? And how do you find time to game? And what has it been like adjusting to that new chapter in your life? Happy New Year, guys. Peace.
All right, we already answered the question about Hi-Fi Rush and Sea of Thieves. Unless you want to say anything else besides that, Paris?
I don't like your sarcasm on that. Answer his question about you being a dad.
I was about to answer that question, but I'm just saying before I go to that, I'm trying to be professional here.
Moving on.
Oh, God. All right. No, it's been great. It's been... now, I'm not going to lie. I had to get used to the schedule on like when to play or what, because I was always focused on, you know, taking care of my daughter with my wife. And it's been great. I'm actually today, she's 2 months old today. So, it's crazy how time has been flying so fast. And I know Paris and Pete mentioned that to me, like, yo, bro, get ready. Time is going to go like this. So I still had time to play a couple games during the holiday break. Like I played Call of Duty. I played Halo Infinite multiplayer, Prince of Persia now, a little bit of other games too. I just don't have like the time for now, like before. But the good thing is I love taking turns with Rihanna. Like Rihanna wants to take a little break, you know, like, hey, let me do my thing. I'll let her, you know, do a thing. Then same thing with me. I'll go and play some other games. Or if our daughter, she's asleep, we'll both play together online. We'll play with friends, you know. I think Paris joined us the other day. One of them, I think it was a Halo or something like that. So, but yeah, it's just been good, man. I just got to get used to the schedule for now. But it changes every week. There's probably some days that my daughter's probably going to be up all day and, you know, doesn't want to go to sleep. You know, it's different, you know. And yeah, that's about it. How was it for you, Paris, back then when you had your first kid? Was it different for you playing certain games, or it took you a while to start playing games or not?
Yeah, that was a long ass time ago. I'm trying to remember. I mean, you know, you got to think of my oldest daughter, because she's 22 now. I mean, I wasn't podcasting or in none of that stuff even existed back then. Yeah, I mean, you figure it out. You obviously get kind of like you're learning now. I mean, when they're infants like that, you're on their schedule.
Yeah, 100%.
So 100%. You work around their schedule and you start learning their patterns for sleep and when you could get some free time and stuff like that. And you just start fitting it in and go from there. Now, I will say, by the time you have kid number two, it changes a little bit. You're like,
hey, this is not an announcement. This is not an announcement.
No, I'm just saying for me, when we had our son, like, he'd be all right. You'd be all right. Yeah. You start understanding what the cries mean. Like you can hear a cry and you'll know instantly, oh, we need to change your diaper. Oh,
yeah. That's how this is with us. Like, we know.
Like
we
know. You know just off the sound and the way it's going. So that's the awesome part of being a parent. And you, like I said, you just figure out a schedule that works around them and you just go from there. I mean, the thing even now with older kids and obviously jobs and all that with me is lack of sleep. That's what I do. I just, I'm up like 4 o'clock in the morning if there's something I really want to go do, because that's my time till everybody else gets up. And then you got to take care of those other responsibilities. So, like I said, new parents, you guys will figure it out. You're already starting to figure it out and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I actually finished playing Super Mario Brothers Wonder on the Switch. And here's the thing. Switch and Steam Deck, great for new parents, I'll tell you right now.
Oh, because I couldn't. Man, if they had that back in the day.
Best.
I had the Game Boy and the DS.
Oh, wait, still. You still will play, you know, in the back. Oh, it's phenomenal, man. So, all right, here goes another. I'm going to read you another FAMO question. This is from James. I don't know from where. He just sent us this email. Happy New Year, GTR. Thank you for close to 2 decades of entertainment. Actually, it's next month. Almost, it's going to be 19 years next month. So you have helped many days go by. With the recent Games Awards reception, do you think this will lead to more gamers and more media advertising and watching the DICE Awards or, for example, the Spawnies? Make sure to check that out. Or will still be barely advertised or barely covered event like usual?
I think it's just going to remain the same. I do.
Yeah.
I think same. As much as we might have been critical of the Game Awards for the lack of allowing award winners to have, you know, long acceptance speeches, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of people, the millions of people that tune in every year are there for the reveals. That's what they're there for. They're there for the reveals. They're there for the trailers more so than to celebrate the award winners. Like, you know, you and I will, you know, we'll be at DICE this year. It's like I was fortunate to be able to go last year and see how that works. It's more about the people that are actually in the room than it is about the people that are watching, you know, at home. So I don't think much is going to change. Like, I forget who even said it, but because, you know, Gary Whitta, he was a presenter at the Golden Joysticks this year. God, I forget who said it, but they were just talking about how nobody was watching the Golden Joystick Awards. You only knew who won when you saw a tweet or something like that. Nobody was watching it live, you know?
I don't
think that's going to change, unfortunately.
Yeah, it sucks, man. It sucks seeing that. But look, I'm always going to support other awards as much as possible. And also the Game Awards. Like, it's nothing don't see anything like wrong with, but it's not always perfect, but it's good to give your feedback, you know. But I'm going to be there at Dice Awards. I'm also going to be watching and supporting the Spawnies that's coming up and next month, actually February 29th. I was watching the stream a couple days ago with Ka and also my wife Rihanna, because they're both were hosting that for both the nomination stream and also the awards. So make sure to check it out, February 29th. All right, so let's go with the next question. This is the final one. Final question. Here it goes.
Hey, Gamertag Radio. First, I would like to say thanks for the entertainment and gaming news and updates that you bring. You're one of my favorite gaming resources to listen to. My question to you is, how do you think advanced AI will be implemented in video games? I know it's used to create assets like images and 3D models, but other than that, how do you think it will be used? For example, an RPG that uses generative AI to create dialogue and quests for the game and maybe even the voices. Do you think it will hurt the industry by displacing jobs or benefit the industry by giving the players a way to customize their experience? That's my questions. Thanks for listening.
Ooh, that's a great question. I know Paris and I, we were talking about this before the recording. I'm like, man, you know, of course it's going to hurt the industry a lot. There's going to be people who are going to lose a lot of jobs because of it. When it comes to that AI stuff. And actually, I think it's there was a controversy the other day, and I think it was the finals. Actually, the commentary, Paris, I don't know if you ever played the finals. Have you tried that?
No.
Multiplayer? The commentary that's in that game, that's all AI generated. And I didn't know. I was like, oh, man, this sounds pretty cool. And then when they told me, I'm like, it felt kind of weird, because I'm like, yo, I'm supporting this and not people that actually recorded voices. Like, it's just, I don't know, it's just weird to me doing that. And I haven't played it since, ever since I found out about that, I haven't played it. But yeah, I just want to know, like, your thoughts about that. Like, I think if there's a way where, let's say somebody created a dialogue and recorded a bunch of voices, you know, in the game, and they use AI in a certain way, not fully, but a certain way where it will always create new stuff in there, but it's like, I don't want in a way where people are going to be losing their jobs, then I'm okay with it. But if it's something where a company creates a game and it's 100% AI and nobody else recorded there, I can't support that. That's a lot of people are going to be losing jobs because of it. And I know recently SAG announced that they made a deal with publishers when it comes to like AI stuff. And the crazy thing is, a lot of the voice actors that are part of SAG, they didn't even had no idea this was going on behind the scenes. They never got contacted to talk about the deal and everything like that. And this got the okay. So I don't know. That's another controversy that I need to do more research on. But I don't know. I don't feel comfortable with it. But I just want to hear your thoughts about AI stuff for you, your opinion.
I mean, there's really not a lot I can say other than what you've already said, and the fact that regardless if it's voice acting, creating assets, whatever, there's someone today that is manually doing that, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're able to replace them with AI, that means they're losing a job. So mm-hmm. I understand that there are some benefits to AI. Of course there is. Machine learning, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But from a humanity standpoint, from a job standpoint, this will change the industry. There will not be as many positions to do certain things in game development because of AI. It's where it's going, whether we like it or not. It is where it is going. 100%. Mm-hmm. Maybe the mass repercussions of it won't be felt until the next decade. I don't know. But as AI continues to improve and get better, the better it is, the least amount of people you're going to need to do the same mm-hmm. thing. It's just reality of it.
Yeah. All right, but everyone, thanks for the emails. That was a lot of fun. And actually, I want to talk about, because look, there's two games that we've been playing, and the thing is, one of them we can't talk about till like later this week, I believe. That's The Last of Us 2 Remastered. That's later this week. But for now, I'll talk about Prince of Persia. That this game just actually is coming out January 18th. If you got early access, the 15th you will play that game and everything. So this game is going to be available on Nintendo Switch, PC, PlayStation consoles, Xbox consoles, Series X and S, so on. So I got the PC version and also the Switch version. Which one you got, Paris? A little too. I know, was it Switch or PC for you?
Wait, what was PC or Switch for me? I'm sorry.
Prince of Persia. Damn, you were paying attention.
No, I was not. Okay, because I haven't played it. I told you I haven't played it.
I know you haven't played it. I know, but I'm just...
No, Xbox.
Jesus. Xbox. Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, so this is... And here's a discussion I've been seeing a lot lately, and even when I got to play this game for the first time during Summer Game Fest, I don't know if you got the opportunity to play it, Paris, or not, but people were mad that this was not a AAA open world game. And I'm fine with this type of Metroidvania type style. Like, I'm okay with it. Like, I don't see anything wrong with it. The game is phenomenal. Actually, this is one of the best games I've played from Ubisoft since, like, maybe the Immortals game that they came out back a couple years ago. I think it was in 2020, 2021, around there, mm-hmm. right? This game is phenomenal. It's really, really good, man. Like, I had an amazing time with it. And actually, boss battles was really cool. There's a lot of, like, you could do main quests. You could also switch to, like, side quests where it, exactly like Metroidvania style. Well, you see the map. You have to go, like, certain areas to, like, either battle an enemy or boss, or you have to, like, find, like, certain items, take it back to, like, another location and everything like that. It's very, very challenging. This on the Switch plays so good, man. Because, look, we were talking about, you know, me as a dad. I can't really be playing like I used to, right? I could play this on the go, man, on the Switch, you know? And I was trying to play this on the Steam Deck. Wasn't working for me because this PC version was only available on Ubisoft Connect. And I wish this was also available on Steam because I could just download and play it, man. But yeah, the character's phenomenal. I just love Sargon. I know he has like a whole crew that you're going to be with in the game, they call it Immortals, but overall, I really enjoy this game, man. Like, I think people should definitely check this out. This is like a great way to start the new year with a game like this. I know people are disappointed that this is not a AAA game, a big, big game, but if you're a fan of Ori, fan of like Castlevania, Metroid, the old school Metroid, you should definitely play this game, man. I think you're going to love it. The voice acting is phenomenal. Music is great. Again, gameplay, the amount of things that you could do in this game later when you started upgrading your weapons and skills and everything. Top notch, man. Top notch. So, yeah, go for it. I think this is a must-have in my opinion. And honestly, I could see this at the end of the year conversation of people putting it up there as like, games contender, like games of the year, that type of thing, you know. I like it a lot, so highly recommend for those that are curious about the game. And I actually posted a video on YouTube and also on Twitter where you see me playing the game and everything like that. So yeah, anything else, Paris, from that? I know you haven't played the game. I don't know if you've seen anything.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen stuff from it, and obviously I've seen feedback on it, and you know, all the impressions have been phenomenal. It's just, yeah, I'll probably here in the next day or so jump in and start playing for myself. But yeah, looking forward to it. Looks really good.
Yeah, yeah. Originally, I was going to review this with Pete, but you know, he's not here. So I'm like, all right, I got to just stay with my review. But yeah, the game is really good, man. I think you should definitely check it out. Try to stay away from the spoilers because there's some pretty cool story there that I think people are going to really, really enjoy, man. So check it out. Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, available now for early access. And for everybody else, January 18th. So, anything else, Paris?
Yeah. I mean, we had to spend so much time fussing about Hi-Fi Rush that we didn't even talk about Xbox's Developer Direct that's coming up on the 18th. And we're going to get Ara. We're going to get Avowed. We're going to get Hellblade 2 and Indiana Jones, which nobody saw coming.
Can I say something about Indiana Jones very quick?
No.
That means yes. So here's the thing. It is possible that it's January, right? Don't be surprised if this game comes out like 2 months from now.
September.
I could see. Oh, it's September?
No, I'm just, that's my guess.
That's your guess? Yeah. I think it's going to be way before that. I think this is going to be like the hit, spring hit. I think this is going to be a spring game. I think, personally, for me. Because, well, again, Bethesda done this before. They announce a game, and 2 months later it comes out, or the same day. So it is possible.
I mean, Todd Howard is the executive producer on it, and we know Todd Howard doesn't like long marketing campaigns for his games. Anyway, I don't know how true this is or not. We obviously are getting rumors, but allegedly 343 and what was it, id, also helped on the development along with Machine Games for Indiana Jones. So it's for sure coming in 2024, unless there's some, you know, technical reason it gets delayed. But I don't think you're crazy thinking it could be a couple months from now. I was just trying to be more, you know, more on the safe side, I guess, thinking, well, maybe this will come like early fall, late summer, something like that. But we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. But again, it's Bethesda, man. I can see it coming way sooner than that, you know. And I think that would be great for, that could be the shadow drop, you know, coming out very, very soon. Because every time now this is the second time. That there's a developer direct. It's always a surprise. Like, hey, this game is out now. That type of thing. So
for fun.
It's exciting.
For fun.
Yeah.
What do you think would be a great shadow drop? Like, I'm not saying they're doing a shadow drop here because I have no expectation of it. But
yeah,
if there was another shadow drop, what do you think would be an awesome game to shadow drop?
Well, from last year, it was a brand new IP.
Right.
And it surprised us all.
Yeah.
Damn, a brand new
because I got a game.
It'll
break the internet if they were to do it.
Nah, not Banjo, right?
Yes, yes. Could you imagine?
Too soon.
The fact that Phil teased it out over the holidays, and when he said, "Banjo fans, I hear you," he was really talking to me. He was saying, "Paris, I hear you."
Oh, he was like, "Love, love to Paris."
I got tagged in so many things after he said that. That was hilarious.
Yeah,
but could you imagine? Yeah. Out of nowhere, they just, boom, here's Banjo.
You know what's messed up? You know what's messed up? You know what's messed up? When I say this, back in the days, Paris would shut me down. And look, I'm letting him dream because I know how it is.
I said pretend. You say that it's happening.
I'm just saying.
That's the difference.
Banjo's a good one. It's not going to be a AAA. That's not.
No.
Now, here's the thing. Is Indiana Jones considered AAA? Or that's like a double A?
We ain't going to find out till the direct. I think it's AAA. I don't think it's a double A.
You think it's AAA?
Yeah.
You think it's AAA?
If that many studios collaborate, again, rumors, but if they had multiple studios collaborating on this, it's not double A again.
Yeah. I mean, even the name Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Disney holding. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man, that's a great question. I'm trying to think of another game where...
Somebody said South of Midnight.
South of Midnight. Okay.
Which I don't think so either, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, being serious, if they were to shadow drop something else, I think it should be another new IP.
Yeah, it should be
something we have no idea about.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I think that... will create a huge discussion about, like, damn, Xbox, new IP? What? Mm-hmm. But let's say if it's a known IP, how about like the rumor Battle Royale for Halo Infinite adding it? It's available today.
Well, the rumor is that it's canceled, so that ain't
happening. Oh, that damn. No. So they killed it? Damn.
Well, again, the interview I did with Brian Gerard from 343. Halo is they are working on the next Halo, and the rumor is it's in Certain Affinity. Like, basically they canceled the Battle Royale and now Certain Affinity and 343 are making the next Halo. That's the rumor.
Next Halo.
Yeah.
I don't mind it either.
I mean, if they can keep Infinite multiplayer in a good place to where we can get, you know, have some fun with it for another couple years, then you announce the next Halo. That'll be fine. They just got to get it right. That's all. Don't repeat what you just did with 5 and Infinite, and they'll be fine.
Now, here's the thing. If there is a shadow drop, Paris, which studio do you think is working on a game? Like, potentially, they might announce a game like, hey, you know what? It's available now. Could it be Bethesda? Could it be someone from, like, Xbox? Like, one of the studios there, like...
Well, I definitely think it's too early for anything coming from Activision Blizzard in that respect.
Way too early. Way too early.
Well, you said that with bass in your voice. Like, you
know. Yeah, way too early.
It wouldn't shock me it wouldn't shock me either way. I mean, between Xbox Game Studios and Bethesda, I mean, you're talking 20 plus studios. So who knows? And it's not like we know everything that all these studios are working on. So there could be another, you know, AA hi-fi rush size game that's been worked on that, you know, they've been able to keep on the hush hush. So it hasn't leaked out, you know, we'll see.
Oh, this is from my wife, Rihanna, cause she also has been part of marketing and all that stuff, right? For a very long time. She says, as a marketer in the room, shadow drops are a great release strategy for games with low marketing budgets.
Yes.
I don't see that with Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones, I don't see that, like, you know, but yeah, with Hi-Fi Rush for sure, 100%. 100%. Let the audience promote this social media. And look, the game got nominated multiple awards during the Game Awards and now with DICE and other awards. So, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, what happened? you're good?
I'm good. People still just mad. About what I said.
They was gonna be mad. That's not nothing. All right, I think we should wrap it up, man. We should wrap it up and go to the after show for those who are watching on Twitch, man. But yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. Guys, continue to send us questions. You want us to do 100% fan mail discussion on the show? It's up to you. You can just send us a question. SpeakPipe, email, voicemail. We're making it easier for you to send us questions. So here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, anything else before we wrap it up?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Everyone, thank you for listening to episode 1322. We'll be back next week with more content here on with the base. More content, Gamer Tag Radio. There you go. All right, until next week. We're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.